Book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14 is where we're going to start off this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter number 14. This morning we're actually going to scan over three different chapters of the Bible, 14, 15, and 16. And this in Sunday school, we began a little bit of the message. So if you were not in our Sunday school class, we are going to reiterate a couple things we learned in Sunday school, but it kind of is like a part two to the sermon. I think you'll understand as time goes along here, there's so much in the message. We're going to finish it tonight. So I encourage you to be back as we learn about the story of Asa. Tonight, this morning's title of the message is God is willing to help you. God is willing to help you. Now, here's the thing. The Bible talks over and over about God being a helper, God delivering in the time of need, and God being a help to you. Think about some of these verses. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Bible also says in Psalms 40:17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. Now, the psalmist and throughout all the word of God, we see people saying, hey, God was my help, or God is my help, God is my deliverer. And this morning, I want us to understand that God is able to help. Also, there are those that God will help, but then we're going to see in this story, there are those that God is not willing to help. You say, you mean there's some people out there God's not willing to help? Well, let's go ahead and let's look in this story, and I think you'll understand it as it goes along. But I guess what you first understand is God is able to help you. And God is capable above everything else that you can imagine, that God is able to do abundantly above anything that we can ask or even think. And I want you to understand that this morning, God is willing to help, but are you taking advantage of his help? A story is told in 1830 about a man named George Wilson. He was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail and was sentenced to hang. Can you imagine that? Robbing and being executed just for robbing? Man, nowadays they don't. Oh, that's a whole other thing. But but President Andrew Jackson issued a pardon for Wilson. And what he said, he wanted him to be able to be pardoned from his crime. But this man, Wilson, said, I refuse the pardon. People were shocked. They said, what happens? He pardoned him, but he's says he refuses the pardon. Well, this even went to the Chief Justice Marshal, and this was his ruling. He concluded that Wilson would have to indeed be executed. He says, a pardon is a slip of paper, wrote Marshall, but the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. So what do you mean? It means that you can't use it or is no help to you unless you access it. He says, the value is only determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. And here's the thought. God is able and willing to help, but are we using his help? Are we asking for it? Are we seeking for it? You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Of course I want God's help. Well, this morning we're going to look at the type of people God is willing to help. But also in this story, the same individual, we're going to look at there came a point in time in his life where God says, I can't help you when you're going to act like that. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the message this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, in complete recognition of the need for your help. Lord, we know we can't do anything on your own. Lord, we know that I can't speak to hearts on my own, but Lord, we're asking for you to intercede and for you to work, and Lord, for you to stand in between, and Lord, and just give the words that you once said and brought forth this morning and speak to people's hearts. Help us to see that you are a deliverer, that you are a help, and Lord, that you are willing to help. But God, help us also be people that can receive your help. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we are going to move a little quickly this morning because, like I said, we're going to try to span three different chapters. It's going to start off in the story with King Asa in chapter number 14 and verse number 2. We're going to learn that Asa was a pretty good king to begin with. Asa, for 10 years, did not have any type of wars, did not have any type of problems. And we'll see the reason why here in verse number 2. It says, and Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Go to verse number 7. It says, therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God, and he hath given us rest on every side, say, built and prospered. So what happens is that Asa was living a life that was pleasing and honoring to God. So God blesses and God helps Asa. God makes it to where they have rest on every side. They're able to prosper. They're able to build the city. Verse number 8, and Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew swords, bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So he has 580,000 men. And there came out against him Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000, which is referring to 1,000,000 in his army, and 300 chariots, and came unto Mersa. Then Asa went out against him, and there set battle in array in the valley of Zephthah at Mersa. So here, to give you understanding what's going on, is that there is a battle. It's a 580,000 versus 1,000,000. Once again, those are not very good odds for the nation of Judah. This is something that they cannot do on their own. This is what their problem is. And they realize in verse number 11 that Asa says to him, God, I know you're able to help us. And this is what we talked about in Sunday school. God is able to help you. Here, let's look here what it says in verse number 11. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. What he is saying here is, hey, Lord, if you want to help us, you can do it. You can do it over and over. It is nothing to thee. It's like it's nothing. It's like it's easy for him to do. And here's the idea. God is able. God has all the power in the world to do anything and everything that we need him to do. Any type of resource that we need, God is able to meet it. God has unlimited capability. The Bible says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. The Bible says, with men, this is possible, but with God, all things are possible. And if we'll learn to recognize it, as Asa did, he recognized in his power, and he relied in his power, and he rested in his power, he received help from God. So the first point is, God is able to help you. And I want you to understand that you leave this place not with, man, I serve a God that cannot help me. No, God is able. Whatever the need you have, God is able to meet it in his way and in his timing. God is able to give you the desires of your heart if your desire to have a heart after him. Here, let's keep on reading. Here, what the Bible says in verse number 11. It's a great verse. It says, and Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said unto him, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many of them that have no power, whether with many or with them that have no power. So Asa is saying in his prayer, Lord, I know you can help. I know it's no problem for you. You're capable, you're able. Whether we had only 5 people or whether we had millions in this war, in this battle, it's not about us. Lord, I know you are able and you are capable to help, whether it was few or with many. And then the next phrase is, help us. He cries out and he says, help us. Now here, we help us understand, you're not going to recognize, you're not going to cry out for God's power until you realize he is able to help you. And he says, help us. And you keep on going, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And here's what he's saying is, Asa understood that God was able and that he rested in God's ability and God's strength. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art God. Let not man prevail against thee. We see this great prayer from Asa. He's saying, look, God, I know you're able. I know it's not a hard thing for you. He says, I know there's nothing hard with you. Lord, I know that if we had a huge army or a small army, none of that matters. You're able and capable of doing anything. Now, here's a thought. We'll get to the next point in just a second. God's able to do what you need him to do. You think about it. God is able to save your soul. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then we get this idea, like, we think about that story heard about George Wilson. He had a pardon sitting there waiting for him. All he had to do was accept that pardon. If he accepted that pardon, he would have been free. He would not have had to die. He would not have had to be hung. He could have gone free. He could have lived his life as if he had never committed that crime. That's what the pardon does. Now, here's what Jesus Christ did. Christ saw our need. God saw our need. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. He saw that we were sinners. We were dead in our sins. We were headed to a horrible place called hell. And he sent his son down the cross to die for us. He provided a pardon for us. He paid for our sins on that cross. He died on a cross. He lived the perfect life. He showed us how to live the perfect life. He died on the cross. He buried, was rose again, and he paid our sin debt for us. Now, here's the thing. He's willing to pardon us from our sin debt, but we have to accept it. We have to call out to him. He's willing to help you. And here's the thing. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, not sure if you died today that you would go to heaven, God is willing to help you. He has already helped you. All you have to do is accept it. And that's what's available to you. And here's the idea, is not only when it comes to salvation is God able and willing to help you. Asa here was a believer. He was a good man. He was being helped by God because of the way he was living. And because he believed and recognized and relied on God's power, he received the blessings from God. And I want you to understand this, that God's able to help you. I don't know what need you have. And there are so many needs. Our prayer list this morning, there is so much and so many people and some very, very situations that, boy, breaks our hearts. And we can't do anything to fix those things. But the wonderful thing is we serve a God that's able. And that's what Asa realized. Asa says, I don't care if I had 5 men or if I had 5 million. I need to trust in God. And I don't care if you have $5 or 5 million. And if you have 5 million, make sure you're tithing. I'm just saying. Well, if you have $5, make sure you're tithing. You're supposed to. No, but he says, I don't care. He says, I need to trust in God, whether it's little or much. I need to trust in God. He recognized it. Not only did he recognize it, he relied on that power. And he rested in that power. See, God is able. Whether it's a physical difficulty. We went through our Sunday school class this morning and we talked about different characters or different characteristics where God used his power to help the lame to walk, the blind to see. And when some of the people said, hey, he changed languages. Hey, he parted the Red Sea. He raised the dead. He put money in the mouth of a fish. He spit a human being out of the fish. I mean, there were so many things that we thought about that just blows our mind that God created the heaven and earth. He is capable of doing anything and everything that you need him to do. There is not a need that he cannot meet the way he desires to meet it. Now, Christian, Asa understood that. You know what happened? Asa thrived because he understood that. Say, Pastor, that's what I want. I need God's help. That's where we need to always come to the spot. We need to recognize the fact we need God's help and that he is able to help us. And point number two is the people God is willing to help. You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Well, let's look what it says in chapter 15. Because I don't want you to be confused here. You say, there are certain people God will help and God won't help. Well, let's look what it says in verse 15. Chapter 15 here. And it shows you that God is willing, able, capable, ready to step in and help. Verse chapter number 15, the Bible says, in verse number 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa. Now, so there's a prophet here or a seer that comes and he meets Asa. God tells him to go speak to Asa. He's coming back from the battle and he says he goes and meets him. And what does he say? And he said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. I don't know about you. I have that underlined in my Bible because I think that's neat. The Lord is with you if you're willing to be with him. The Lord is right there willing to help you. He's willing. He is capable. He is there. He's as close to you as you can imagine. He is there with you. He says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if, there's an if, isn't there? There's an if there. If you seek him, he will be found of you. He's saying, look, if you're willing to seek after him, if you're willing to rely on him and rest in him, if you're willing to search after him with all your heart, he'll be there for you. And he says, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Here's the idea. He's saying, look, God is able. He's capable. There's nothing in this world that God can't do. He'll be with you as long as you're with him. If you seek after him, you'll be found of him. But the moment you forsake him, the moment you leave him, the moment you stop relying and depending upon him, he just can't help you. So who's the people God can help? Let's keep on reading. Verse number 3. Now for a long season, and this man, Azariah, gives an illustration here to Asa about the past years and the past kingdom. He says, now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God. Isn't that a shame? Been a long time, the true God has not been a part of their life. And he says, for a long time they have been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without the law. Now, verse number 4 is really an encouragement. But when they in their trouble did turn to the Lord, unto the Lord, God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. What the Bible is saying there is, hey, I could not help Israel. I could not help the nation of Judah. But the moment when they turned and they sought after me, I was right there. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that an encouragement that no matter what you're going through, we have a God that is able, we have a God that is capable, and the moment when we stop living for ourselves and we turn to him, he's right there for us. I don't know, that's encouraging to me. Look what it says in verse number 5. It says, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. He was saying, look, the nation of Israel, they were living for themselves, and God was willing to help them, and they refused because they did not seek after him, because they did not live for him. He could not help them, and because he could not help them, they had great vexation of spirit. And isn't that true? If you're not living for God and you're a child of God, you're going to be miserable in your life. Now, you might have a little bit form of success, and you might be able to drown your sorrows in excitement and pleasure and other activities, because there is pleasure of sin for a season. But you're going to have to be vexed in your spirit. The Holy Spirit of God's going to tear you up. He's going to make you feel bad. He's going to make you want to realize, hey, you need God's help. Now, here's three things I see in these verses. First things, people that God is willing to help is, number one, is those who receive his word. Those that receive his word. Now, this man comes, and this man that God speaks to, Azariah, comes to him and says, hey, look, I need you to listen to me. This is great King Asa. This is one who has lived for 10 years without problems. This is one that has lived and has built these cities. And this prophet comes up to him and says, I got something to say to you from God. You know, Asa could have said, I don't want to hear from you, and guess could have went on his way. He could have ignored him. But you know what? He received the message from God. You know what, if you want to be a person that receives God's help, because we know God can help us, is number one, you must learn to receive the word of God. Revival only starts in a person's life when they receive the word of God. You go out, and this is one of the first great revivals of the nation of Israel. I count 5 great revivals, or at least semi-great revivals, where they've turned back, the nation of Israel turns back to God. And this is one of the 5, and this is the first one. And in this first revival, you see what happens is they receive the word of God. If you really want God's help, the Bible says that you need to receive the word of God. Listen to what it says in Psalms chapter 1. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Listen to those words. The Bible says if you delight in the law of the Lord, if you receive it, if you meditate on it, listen what will happen. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which means you won't sway. You'll stand strong on the word. You'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, it's all keyed in this beginning. How you receive the word of God. This is where revival begins. This is where God can help those. How can God help? It begins with the receiving of his word. The Bible says that then you'll prosper. Then your leaf will not wither. Then everything you do will prosper. Because it'll be for the right reasons. Because it's according to the word of God. Asa listens to this. Second thing I think, not only is it a person who receives, but also a person who repents. You know, the type of person that God helps is the person not only who receives, but the person who repents when he hears God's word. What are you talking about, Pastor? You see in the story here what it said in verse number 3 and 4 about the nation of Israel. In verse number 4, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord. That's what repentance is turning away. is that when you hear the word of God and you know God's word doesn't line up with your life, you stop what you're doing and you turn around, you head right back to God. That's what returning is, and that's what repenting is, and that's the type of person God can help. The Bible's saying in verse number 4, but when they were in trouble, did turn unto the Lord. The moment they turned and sought him, he was found of them. Isn't that great? But that's the type of person God can help, is those that will turn unto him. I like the way that J. Vernon McGee wrote this, talked about this verse. He says, my friend, if you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. I hear people say, oh, I try to study, I try to pray, I try to do this, but I just don't get anywhere. He says, my friend, who are you kidding? May I say to you that when you say that, you make God a liar. God says, if you seek me, I am there. If you mean business with God, God will mean business with you. Oh, search your heart, my friend. If you really want to know God's word, then God is ready to meet you anytime that you are ready. But it all begins with the receiving of God's word first. It means that, hey, there is something in God's word that is different than the way I am living, and I turn away from the things I'm doing. I repent of the things I'm doing, and I turn to God, and I receive the word that God's given me. This is similar to what salvation is. Is when we hear the word of God preach and we see that we're a sinner and we see that we think in our own strength, in our own power, in our own good works, that some way we can make it to heaven on our own. And we turn away from that false thinking and that false religion and we turn to God and we repent and we repent of our sins and our ideas of God and we turn to God and say, God, I need to put my faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on that cross and only him and him alone. Not counting or trusting in anything else but Jesus Christ alone for salvation. But this is talking about how the type of person God helps. You know, I know what you're saying, and that's why I quoted J. Vernon McGee, so you won't be mad at me, but there's so much truth in there. If you want to be right with God, you can be. If you want to do and live with God, you want to learn his word, either God is a liar or there's something wrong with you. And there's something wrong in what we're doing. Something that we need to change. Some part of his word that we need to receive. Something that we need to return from. Something that we need to repent from. Something that we need to stop doing so that way we can be right with God. So we can be someone that God can help. God is able to help us. And we know that. But how do we receive his word? And when we receive his word, do we repent of it? And do we turn back to God? Because in verse number 4, it says, but when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and saw him, he was found of them. It wasn't just because they were Israelites, it's because that's the way he treats all of us. If we will seek after him, he'll turn back to us. Not only is it receiving and repenting, there's also a spot here that he reacts to it. He reacts to it. You go down to verse number 8, and you see how he reacts. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. So Asa was doing what's right in chapter number 14. He was already living for God, but when he heard this encouragement, he reacts to it. He remembers the word of God and he puts action to it. Not only does he just receive it, and not only does he just repent of it, what does he do? He puts action to it. He reacts to it. He follows through with it. It's not something that's just a here and now when I'm at the altar, when God's convicting my heart at the message. It's something that changes when I get home. It's something that changes in my life. It's something that I turn around and I start doing differently. Now, we many times receive the word, sometimes even repent of it, but very, very rarely do we change and react to the word of God. Let's see here in the next verse is what Asa does. And he says, Asa heard these words, and in verse number 8, in the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was there, was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all the Judah and Benjamin. Look, he uses his influences. And the strangers with him out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance. What they're saying here is that there was a ton of people that came from the northern kingdom down to Judah. Why? When they saw that the Lord his God was with them. God was using him as he was cleaning up Israel. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep. And they enter into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. We see here that Asa as king is commanding these people to seek after God. In verse number 13, they even put it a law that they must seek after God, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their whole desire. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Wow. They react to it. He cleans it up. He uses every part of his influence to do something for God. You say, every part, even at home. Look what it says in verse number 16. And also concerning Micaiah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now, his mom was queen, but his mom was serving an idol. He says, that ain't going to work. He removes her from her position. It was personal. He made it react to every area, his political, his outward life, his personal life, his own self, everything changed. Now, you know, it's sad to think that this the mother of the king, this good guy, he was living for God, was serving an idol. Let's just say that there's some mom and dads. Our children should be learning from us. They should not be more spiritual mature than us. Maybe you're a young Christian, and maybe that's unfair. But for someone who's been saved for a while and has children in their house, you should be the spiritual leadership there. They shouldn't have to be saying, like Asa's, Mom, you can't be doing that anymore and step away. We need some moms and dads that will seek after God. And that's the type of people God can help. You keep on going, and you see here in verse number 17, but the high places were not taken away from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. Now, Asa was not perfect. Asa did not do everything he could do. He did, and the Lord helped him here. And you see in verse number 18, and he brought into the house of God things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself has dedicated silver and gold in vessels, and there was no more war unto the 5th and 30th year of the reign of Asa. Now, we could stop there. We're not going to, but we could stop there and say, look, that's the type of person God can help. A person who receives the word of God, who repents, and then reacts and remembers the word of God. That's the type of person God can help. You say, God is able. God is willing. Remember, he is our deliverer. We look to the hills. My help cometh from the Lord. He is capable, he is able, he is willing. Who is God able and willing to help? Those who receive his word, those who repent when they receive it, and those who return, who react to his word. Third thing is, not only is God able and those God is willing to help, in this story, sadly, there are those that God will not help. There are those that God will not help. Look what it says in verse 16. And it'd be nice if the story ended here about Asa, but it doesn't. Asa turns and stops relying on God. And God just can't help him anymore. Look what it says in chapter 16. In the 6th and 30th year, now for 25 years, God gives him peace. God helps him. God sees him grow and God sees him prosper because of the reaction to the preaching of the word of God. In chapter 16, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out and come into Asa, king of Judah. Now here's the deal. We read over in verse number, I think it was verse number 9, that many people were leaving the northern kingdom, going to the Judah kingdom, and Baasha did not like that, so he tried to stop them from going. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. I want you to take note of that. He took gold and silver, not out of his own pocket, but out of God's house, out of the house of the Lord. What did he do with it? And out of the king's house, also from his house, but from God's house too, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent captains of his armies against the city of Israel. And they smote Ijon, and Dan, and Abel-Maim, and all the cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building at Ramah, and left his work cease. And then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah, and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building. And he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. Now here's the deal. The northern kingdom started doing acts of war against the nation of Judah. And the king of Judah goes and takes money out of his own house, but out of God's house, and pays off a pagan Gentile and says, I want your help. And it worked. The king of Israel ran. They even got all the resources that the king of Israel was using to build. They went and built their own cities with that. He said, man, that was great. No, that wasn't great. See, he stopped relying on God like he did in chapter 14 and verse 11, saying, Lord, it's nothing for you. It's nothing with thee to help. And he began to rely on Ben-Hadad. Now, what made the change rely? What made him change? I don't know. The Bible doesn't specifically say. I began thinking and meditating a little bit. Maybe it was because it was a different army. Maybe because it was from the northern kingdom that maybe he thought that God wouldn't help him against them. Maybe the size was smaller and he was so used to these peaceful years, his pride had built up a little bit. And he says, oh, I don't need to bother God with this one. I'll just call my buddy over here. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know why, but there was a moment in time where his faith in God had dimmed. His love for God had dimmed. He had left his first love. And when he left his first love, his heart grew cold. And instead of asking and crying out to God for help, he turns to someone else. Verse number 7, you see that he is reprimanded for it. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on God. So what's the people that God can't help? Who is it? It's found right there. The people who don't rely on him. Relied on thy God, the Lord thy God. Therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. And here's our theme verse for the year. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Now, I read these verses and it's saddened to see someone make a turn away. Asa was doing so well. He was living under the peace of God. He was living under the benefits of God because God was helping him. He stopped recognizing that when he had a problem, and instead of turning to God, he turns to someone else. That is the type of person God will not help. First thing I want you to think about, those that God will not help first, is those who do not rely on him. Those who do not rely on him. We saw that in verse number 7. The seer or the prophet said, you did not rely on me. You know what? He just didn't think he needed God. He says, I got this one figured out. I can handle this. I'm going to just go over here. I don't need you this time, God. God can't help you that way. You must realize that God is able and capable of doing all things, and he cares not only about the big things, but the little things. In the Sunday school class, they were talking about different things where God intervened and showed his power, and some were talking about raising the dead, and some were talking about the great worldwide flood, and some were talking about these huge miracles. And then one person mentioned about how they put the piece of gold in the fish's mouth. The little things versus the great things. God wants you to rely on it. On all of it. In the model prayer, what does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. He wants you to realize that you are completely and totally dependent upon him in every area of your life. know, you read verse number 9 or theme verse, and it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth and show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." I can only imagine God's heart when he sees the fact that he is able and he is capable and more than able to do anything that you could ever ask or think. And then you turn and you go do something else. Must break his heart. You go and rely on somebody else. God helped Asa over and over and over. He gave him peace. He helped build the kingdom. He did all these things for him. And then to see him turn to go worship, it helps ask someone to help who hated him. Must have broke his heart. It's sort of like you, if you had the resources to help your children, and all you want them to do is learn and try to help, and then they turn and go somewhere else. "But I could have given you the help you needed, son. I could have given you the advice and set you up the way you needed to, daughter." It breaks their heart when we see them turn to the wrong things. And I can only imagine God's heart. And not only is he willing to help, look at it in verse number 9. He is looking for someone. He is looking for someone he can help. He's looking for someone he can show strong. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He is looking for someone he can help. He is looking for the person he can bless. But what's the person he can bless? The one who receives his word. And when they receive it, it's not one who says, maybe I'll take it, maybe I won't. I'll do this part, but not this part. No, the person that receives it and repents and reacts to it is the person he can help. The person he can't help is the one who doesn't rely on him. Secondly, not only those that do not rely on him, but those who do not ask. Those who do not ask. Isn't that simple? He didn't ask God. All he did in chapter 14, verse 11, it was a great prayer, but all he was doing was asking God for help. God was willing. He says, "Look, if you seek after me, I will be there. I will be with you as long as you're with me." Not only, and the Bible says in James, says, "You have not because you ask not." You have Asa crying out, not to God, but crying out to Ben-Hadad. Last but not least, another person that God is not willing to help, and this is just a little throw in there, chapter 16 and verse number 2, someone who misuses his resources. And this is a person that God's not going to be willing to help. Someone who misuses resources. Look what it says in chapter 16, verse 2. "And Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. He went and took those things that had been sanctified and separated and said, okay, Lord, this is your offering. This is your gift." He went and took God's money, God's gold, God's silver, and went over to a pagan king, and said, "Here, I want your help." Boy, there's something wrong with that. God can't help somebody that does that. Takes what belongs to God and gives it to someone else. Now, you know, we can say, "Pastor, you're talking about money." I am talking about money. When God commands a tithe, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, using God's and giving to something else. But it's not just your treasure. It's your talents. It's your resources. It's your children. God gave you those children. They're a heritage of the Lord. They're not yours. They're his, that he gave to you to raise for him. And that's what it's giving it. Many times we go and take it to the world and say, "Here, you can have them." This morning, God wants to help you. I know that I don't know what problem you have. I don't know what need you have. But I do know someone who can help you, and that's God. But the people God's willing to help, those people who will receive his word, who will repent when they hear the word, and they will react to it. Those who God can't help, those who don't rely, those who do not ask, and those who misuse the resources God gives them. Now, you go back to that guy, George Wilson, at the beginning and say, "Man, why didn't that guy just take the pardon? Why didn't he just take it? It was there, sitting there, waiting for him." You know what? That's the help God's offering you. It's there. He wants to help you. But why don't you take it? This morning, if you're here and you're lost, Jesus already paid the price for you. Pardon has been written out. All you have to do is receive, repent, react by putting your faith in it. Christian, if you're here this morning, you have so much to be thankful for. The Lord has been your helper when it comes to salvation. I'm guessing that the Lord's been your helper in other places, just like Asa. And there might be a time when your first love has grown cold, and you've started relying You stopped asking. You started misusing those resources. And no longer God is able to help you. He is there waiting. Like he said in chapter 15, verse number 4, when the nation of Israel turned back and they cried out to him, he was there. As long as they were with him, he was with them. Christian, today, are you receiving help from God? We hear the psalmist say, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Are you being helped by God today? Isaiah says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Is God strengthening you? Yea, I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That is what God is willing to do for you. He wants to help you. Are you being someone that God can help? Let's go ahead and go to invitation time. Stand to your feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed.